welcome to another episode of The Flank. I'm joined by the one and only The Human Turret, one of the best ARs to ever do it. Give it up for the world champ himself, Sam LaRue, a.k.a. Octane. We got some of the best analysis in the game. Give it up for the world champ himself, Christopher Duarte, a.k.a. Parasite. We got a multi-world champion, a multi-champion, a legend, an icon to the Call of Duty space. Give it up for Patrick Price, a.k.a. Eggs. And then, of course, we got the one and only, the executive producer of The Flank. Give it up for Benjay Nassim. Gentlemen, what's going on today, man? Three matches. We also got a Phase Optic Halo match. We got some esports today. Some good esports. What's going on, Ben? How you doing?
Tottenham lost today, so I'm fucking sad because I got smoked.
Yeah, they're always losing.
But man, just vibey, you know, trying to enjoy my last couple of days here before we head off to sunny Florida. So we got one more team locked in for winner's bracket today. One spot left tomorrow.
Yeah,
so excited to talk about it on the show.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Chris, how you doing? You doing all right, bro?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Just excited. I'm in the same boat as Ben. I'm excited for Florida, and honestly, just trying to get these matches, these qualifier matches, because they've been a snooze lately, man. But yeah, you know, we got to get them done.
Yeah, got to get the matches done. Sam, I see you got your little pup over there, your dog.
Probably me alone, man.
She or he?
She's doing great.
She's doing
fine. As am I.
How you doing, Sam? You doing great? How'd you enjoy the matches today?
Oh, the matches went great. FaZe Halo got fucking curb stomped.
Come on, Sammy. You don't got to say all that. Is it because of what I was saying during the Thieves
series? No, it had nothing to do with it. I'm just a huge Optic Halo fan.
That's great. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that about you, Sam. It's good to know.
It's crazy that you say you're doing great, though, Sam. I remember you said that your mood corresponds to how the LA Thieves did on their match day, and they got fucking shit on.
It's a 3-1. I was expecting a 3-0. It was a 3-1. I'm doing great.
Yeah, they did get shit on. We'll obviously talk about it. We'll get there. Slayin, talk to me, Pat. Saturday, you got a day off from work. I'm sure you've been chilling out. I'm sure you were really locked into these matches. Pat, how you feeling?
Matches were phenomenal, Tom. Wow.
Phenomenal.
Best COD I've ever seen. Yeah, no, I'm doing good. Ready for this very quick show. Probably community questions.
Nah, I think we're good. Okay, we got three matches, and then we got good matches tomorrow. We'll give our thoughts on tomorrow and give some predictions, and then tomorrow maybe we'll do some community questions. We'll see how the matches go tomorrow, but we'll hop back in there. But no, there was definitely some things to talk about. I got a few clips to talk about. Obviously, we want to talk about the series as a whole. But yeah, I mean, I agree, Chris. I mean, some of these matches have been a snooze. Like, let's just like rip the Band-Aid off. Like, we're trying to be as honest as possible. We would love for these matches to be entertaining every fucking day, but. I mean, some of these matches are just not, they're not that competitive.
Please, CDL, please, and the owners as well. Could they sit down next week and have an honest conversation for the next major and the major after that to, like, flex schedule these games the last 2 weeks of the split so we stop having, like, days that are actually just an absolute snooze and, like, we actually try and, like, build a quality schedule the last 2 weeks where matches actually matter? I'm not saying to swap them in 2 weeks, but, like, balance the days out so they're better. Like, they do it in the NBA, they do it in the NFL, they do it in Major League Baseball. Like, why the fuck can't we do it in COD?
Yeah, no, I agree. The schedules has just been so bad. And I think it was Pat who said it. Like, why doesn't everybody just play everybody once? Like, they just play, everybody should play each other one time every stage and then just call it a fucking day. But let's hop into the matches. We had three matches today. We got a few things to talk about. We also have some drama that was on the timeline today, which was always fun. I think we always love a little bit of drama on the timeline between some of the players. But let's hop in. First series of the day, we got the Vegas Legion going up against the Carolina Royal Ravens. Carolina now 2-5 in a stage. Vegas 5-2 to get the 3-0 victory here over Carolina. I mean, you could take a look here at the maps. I mean, they just were not close. Vegas just kind of stomped on them. And went the whole way through. I mean, we'll take a look down here, and you'll see that Tyler Fellow. Yeah, oh, Jesus Christ is right. Not quite the red carpet. Tyler Fellow saved him, Chris. He saved him. But, Chris, I'll start off with you. Since you're bringing some sound effects, yeah, we did get a 0.5 from Clayster today with 7,000 damage. It was a rough series from Clay. I think he tweeted after the series. I don't know what the fuck happened to him today. He just fucking, I don't know. He fell on his face, flat on his face. Chris, what did you think about the series, bro? Vegas versus Carolina.
Vegas continue to impress in respawns. Granted, they're playing the lower competition. You can only play who's in front of you, but they've been making improvements. Purge has been playing a lot better, way more consistent. You're getting to see more of Geo, and then Attach is just continuing to be, you know, the consistent dominant player on this team. But like on the Ravens side, I expect them to at least put up a fight. Like I think like although Vegas has made improvements, they were still kind of on the lower spectrum in terms of like, you know, where they are in the standings. So not really sure what happened. I mean, Clay basically didn't shoot back. Teja didn't have a good, Teja had a rough series, but I mean, dude, I'm more excited to talk about the drama on the timeline.
Yeah, we'll get to the drama. Pat, let's go to you on the 3-0 victory here. What did you think about the Vegas Legion? I mean,
Tom, they got curb stomped.
Okay.
No map was close. They got curb stomped. Ravens look horrible. They're fighting for 12th best team in the league. There's not much to say for me. I mean, I don't know what happened to Clay, but even if Clay had a .9, like, they still got curb stomped. So I don't really think it's that big of a deal. Clay might be, you know, losing his spot on CDL caliber in my tier list, and Purge might be taking it. But other than that, I mean, yeah, it was bad. It was bad across the board.
Yeah.
TJ, Tom, I don't know if you saw my conversation with TJ, but TJ, it might be time. Starting to get to learn next Defiant, buddy.
No, okay. I remember that convo. I think I see it on Reddit. So what happened? You were telling him something that he needs to go to X Defiant or some shit? What happened?
Yeah, he replied to my tier list and said, like, oh, if there was one for X Defiant devs, you'd be in the same spot you had me or whatever. And I was like, yeah, good one, buddy. But you might as well start to get to learn it because, wow, not looking too hot in the CDL.
Yeah, they're already announcing pro rosters, so Tease might be there.
About, like, looking at the stats, like, Clay hasn't had the best series, but, like, this one was extremely bad. And, like, just, like, looking at the stats, like, if you're just a viewer at home, like, picture this, like, 7,000 damage in three-game series, there's just a lot of times where he's not shooting back, like, at all. Like, he's just running out, probably sprinting, just dying, playing way too over-aggressive. And on top of that, like, being an AR player in this game, like, those are your damage dealers. They're the ones that are peppering people, you know, just putting out a lot of damage so that way your submachine guns can close distance. Like, 7K as an AR player.
Didn't you want him to play aggressive? I thought this whole you were high on him playing aggressive.
Yeah, but this isn't what I'm talking about. Like, it's not like I just want to sprint out and die. That's not how the game works. Like,
interesting.
No one wants to play like this, aggressive
you
or not.
You said you wanted to play him like scrap. That's what you said. You said, I want Clay to play him like scrap. Like,
when did I say I wanted to play like scrap?
Someone's got a clip.
No
bro.
One ever said that.
Nah,
I
he said
play
that.
Like
not Chris. You said that, bro.
You said you wanted him to play fast as an AR like Scrappy
he
does.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, yeah, he needs to shoot the game. Like, he still needs to play the game. Like, when Clay was in his prime, he wasn't a fucking hamster literally sitting in the back of
his prime. Like,
I know, but I'm saying that if he wants to play the game like he like that way, he could if he obviously was just better. But either way, like, dude, regardless of the fact, even if he's sitting back or playing aggressive, 7K, he's not even shooting his gun. He's not pulling up. That's just kind of unacceptable out of an AR player, regardless of your pace. Like, it doesn't matter.
I just think, you know, for Carolina now, having watched, you know, the seven series they played, I think the S&D has definitely been improving from stage one. And I think they got some options there. I think the respawn, if you kind of dive into it, they have a very narrow map pool. And I think, you know, in this series was easily targetable by Vegas via the vetoes, like just forcing, you know, Vegas to play an invasion and Karachi respawn when their best maps are Skid Row and Subbase. Like, it's just tough for Carolina to get over the fact. And yes, they might still make winners, and we'll get to that kind of later on in the show. But I just think their map pool is tiny. I don't think they're a very quick team. I don't think they're going to be able to really match the pace of even a team like Vegas Legion. And I think they have a very difficult decision to make after the split. Do you want to stick with this roster and kind of thread the needle and barely limp it a chance?
Wait, you can say their roster, their map pool is like tiny, but like, it's not like a targeted thing here, bro. They're like 0-7 on invasion, like on invasion 0-8 or something like that on invasion hardpoint. That's a map that they probably are confident in, or it's one of their maps that they essentially play in their map pool. It's not like they like Vegas threw them a curveball and like made them play uncomfortable maps. No, they gave them a map that they play all the time. They just can't win because they suck. It's not like they're just getting out map pool. This team is just terrible. It has nothing to do with their map pool. Then it's just, they're just ass, period.
Well, I just
eloquently put,
I don't,
Chris.
I don't understand why. I really want to know from their perspective, why do they keep, like, are they this bad on like Rio? Are they this bad that they don't, would they rather play invasion and keep losing it over playing like a real hard point? Like, I don't understand it.
It's real simple. It's real simple. Ready? They're ass at everything.
Every game ball.
They're just probably less ass at invasion. They're decent.
I don't know. This what I've noticed. They're not that bad at Skid Row, although I think it's top teams.
It was in the map
pool. Sub base.
They just didn't make it there.
Skid Row was in the map pool.
They're actually not a bad high rise team, but like, I just don't know why I keep seeing them play invasion hardpoint in series after series after series of split. When you have multiple unwinnable maps in a mode, it doesn't fucking matter.
Wait, they you can't say they're a decent high rise team. They beat like they've won it like once. Like it's just a map that they played and they've like taken rounds off teams, but I'm pretty sure they've won it like once. I'm talking about
and in control too. They've actually
I thought you were talking about search, but I'm talking about both in general.
Just
I mean, like looking at the map set, like you're talking about like their weak map pool. They got maps that they in theory should be competitive at. They just got shit on. Like, so
I mean, they're playing 3v4, bro. Clay literally wasn't shooting today.
It's not a fucking map pool thing, bro. They're just not a good team, and they have way too many weaknesses and like weak players on their team. It is what it is.
I know Fellow played great today, but if we go by KD's, I know Fellow played decent today. If you look at the slaying, pick whatever slaying stat you want, you're going to find that Clay and Fellow are going to either be, you know, second or third worst or worst and third worst. They're going to be in the bottom five in almost every category together as a duo. Like, there is an AR slaying problem on this team, and it's a huge limiter on the maps they can play, the modes they can play, and
We called this out when they made the roster change. Like, the change made no sense.
They looked better for a while. And then, oh my god, bro!
Like, come on, are we this dumb that we can't see past a couple week honeymoon period on a roster change when they dropped the worst player in the league at the time? Like,
to be honest, I agree. Wait, hold on. To be honest, we gotta be able to analyze past the honeymoon period. For all of the bottom four teams and the majority of the teams in the league, you can argue the same thing. Whenever they make a one player change, most of the time, I'm not saying every time, you can basically make that same assumption. It's like, like, yeah, they're in a honeymoon phase. It's not going to last.
Yeah,
like
it happens every time. It's not hard. Like, yes, and it's true every time.
I mean, you can say that every time about most teams, but it's not hard to see if a bad team makes a roster change
that doesn't move the needle at all. Like, if you have any forward-thinking capability at all, you can see that this is not going to do anything for them. It's not going to move the needle. It's not fixing the team.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the same spot. Regardless if they win a couple of years, let me
lay this out for you, Chris, because I think this is very important to talk about. Listen, we don't like to value online COD, but you get 10 points per win. And Ravens have gotten statistically easier splits the first two fucking splits of this season. Unfortunately for them, the next two splits, in each one, they're going to play three of the top four teams during that split. They have basically the hardest remaining schedule of any team in the CDL. They're going to have to figure out how to win online matches because they're currently sitting behind a point.
No, they're fucked. I mean, I was more so pointing out that we can't make that general assumption about all these teams because we kind of made that assumption.
Yes, we can.
No. We kind of made that same assumption with like the Purge and Geo change with their whole like with picking up Geo. We were like, Pride's not going to move the needle much, and they proved us wrong. So like making a generalization like that when a team makes a one-person change is just so pointless. Like, we got to look at things like split to split, I think, like at the very least. We can't be looking at this shit for
but
Vegas also had pieces prior to their change, bro. We thought Carolina was shit prior to their change.
Carolina has one good player, and his name is Wynn. Vegas had
Nero and Dill are attached, and they were playing well the whole year.
Yeah.
And they had Purge completely switch off his dog shit role, and now he's playing better.
I still remember when Ravens came in with their new team. We said that they looked better.
But they did for the 2 weeks period that they played.
Yeah. Yeah. I said they were horrible the whole time. They dropped God RX, the 48th worst player in the league, picked up Felony, who also became the 48th worst player in the league.
I agree with Pat. There's no way to sugarcoat it. They got to make a change.
They might
get lucky because Boston has control of the destiny for the last winner's bracket spot. If they lose it, I think it goes to Carolina based on
if Carolina gets winners, that is insane.
Carolina's going to end up playing New York or Optic.
The fact that caliber of this team can make winners is just fucking laughable.
It's insane. And by the way, Vegas played great today, and the reward for that is they're going to play Toronto Ultra when it's back around one. So that'll be particularly interesting.
Wait, can you explain? They can make winners.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ow. That's because Boston,
because there's so many shit teams that like, two like, wins like, can like give you winners.
Like I said, bro. Lost today. Seattle like I said, is terrible.
It doesn't matter where you place in the 1-4. You have a
You're getting
one by.
You're getting a bye.
You have a round one bye. It's very simple.
Yeah. Very, very weird stuff. But let's move on. We got some clips from the series. This is kind of where I know it's early, but this is pretty much where Vegas were able to just build their lead here in the hard point, in the first hard point invasion. So we kind of watch it back. What happened to Carolina here on this setup? I mean, this is just a rotation where they should be holding a lot of time, and they end up getting.
They got first blood.
Here. Well, I also don't know.
They didn't track Gio. They didn't know where he was. You can see TG backs all the way up looking for this guy.
TJ
and Gio. TJ runs all the way back trying to like. I'm assuming they're saying that they're missing Gio or that he could be like past them because they left their gap. Mm-hmm. And Gio just does the fucking perfect play in the scenario and takes the one on Hill and wins it. And just Carolina starts losing their minds.
Yeah. But I mean, Gwynn also was kind of eagle chowing out the hill like an animal.
Yeah.
Gwynn was definitely over chowing out the hill. But even after the fact, then Tyler gets caught out and TJ's here by himself. I mean, what happens here is Vegas ends up getting all the time, and then they chain it to the next hill. They build such a big lead, and then they hold on to that lead the rest of the game. They just trade off the rest of the game, and it was chalked. This was probably the biggest mistake of the map. You can see the last 30 go there. If you were Carolina, would you have done anything differently there? I mean, they lost Gio, but I still think they should be tighter to Hill, and I still think they're kind of stagnant. They're kind of all over the place here.
I mean, even if Gio runs out and gets this kill, like, he should get insta-traded.
Well, Tej is just also looking at they're stacked on the right side of the map when Gwynn, like, while it looks like he's trolling, kind of has to take an aggressive chow because his teammates are looking at fucking nothing for him. Like, they could just run up A Street on him and kill him.
He has to play for his
He has to play a gunfight or they get broke regardless because of just the focus of Carolina's setup. Yeah. Like, all of them are looking for the push through roll. That's why the hole in Cafe is there for Gio to hit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they necessarily could have done anything better. Like, obviously, if they could have just tracked Gio, they probably are in a favorable situation. But I think Gio just makes the ideal play, and, like, it's just he just made a good play.
I don't think they track him, though.
I think TJ should get on point here as well. I think
TJ should just play closer and, like, cut the cross. So, even if they're missing Gio, like, he can't make a play if TJ has info on the cross.
Yeah, but that's still tracking him, just minimizing the gaps that he can hit. Like, that's just the gap.
More so, man, because TJ actually went and fucking looked for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
but I'm saying if TJ can get on the point and his teammates can come off spawn and get his cross, like, they might be able to make something out of it. I think him playing gas right there after all the kills go down, that was an interesting play. But the break comes in from Vegas Legion. Thought Carolina trolled a little bit right there. Obviously, good plays coming in from them. And then we go into the next clip. This is going into the second P2. Going into the P3, this is where Vegas really build their lead here. And I just thought it was a good play from Dylan. So you can see Attach, he's challenging Old, which this is what you want to do on this rotation, right? Like, you want to challenge Old a little bit. Like, you want to get those kills and spawn them deep palace. That way, when you rotate to P3, you can soak up a shit ton of time and keep the map pushed out. But Dylan, instead of overchowing, he backs up. He plays a corner. He's able to get a kill, and I think he gets insta-traded out after he gets the kill. So he gets the kill. He gets insta-traded out. But even him just being alive and getting that first kill, that spawns that guy deep palace. He gets all the info, and now you can see Carolina. They're forced to go all the way around. Dylan slowed them down a little bit, and as soon as Dylan comes off spawn, you see he spawns in the back. He gets right back into the play. And he continues to just pop off. Dylan's been incredible, by the way, for Vegas. He's been, like, making play after play. So huge shout-out to Dylan Attach. But you could just see how much of a blender Vegas put Carolina going into the second P3. They were just able to pin him back on that P2 spawns, like those palace spawns, and just lock down so much time here. This is kind of where the map got away from Carolina. So I don't know if you would have done anything differently. Do you guys like the 4-hit left through Old trying to break? Like, do you think that's Carolina's best play there? Or do you think there's something else they could have done differently here? Because they didn't even get close to this hill.
Well, the thing is, breaking out of this hill is very similar to, like, breaking out of your spawning control. And, like, most teams, like Pat or Sam points it out, he hates when people wrap right. It's kind of the same. If you're already late on that rotation and you give Vegas your map control, your only option is to hit the left. But once you do that, then you spread through mid, which is kind of what they did. But Vegas just played it better. I mean, when you're on the defending end of a hill, like, it's on you to fuck up, and Vegas played it perfectly. They played exits, and then they just staggered all their deaths, so they never got flipped out. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, no, they had to hit through left. They just did execute and get multi-kills.
Here's a clip from the search. So we've seen people get this B bomb down a lot on high rise, but then they don't really know what to do after the fact. I mean, this is a 3v3 situation for Carolina, and I thought this was a round that they should have won to maybe try and bring this comeback in, but this is just the story of how this S&D was going. You could just kind of see what ends up happening here. I mean, Fellow ends up getting picked. TJ's down low by himself. He's trying to stay alive. Everybody dies around him. It's just like, what's the plan here for Carolina after they get the bomb down? Everybody's taking solo chows. Gwyn's underground. Tyler Fell's in a base. TJ's in a bomb.
He was on the heady of B Street, it looks like. Like, standing on the box.
Yeah.
And I think he just got picked from low blue by Purge.
Yeah, he was standing on the box. I think he was on a head glitch. Which I don't mind the spot, but then TJ tries to go for the trade, and he gets taken down, and then everything just collapses in front of Carolina. I mean, would you have done anything differently?
Even with the Minnesota
Rocker series, I have the same situation. It's like a B post plan. Sam, we talked about in the watch party about playing like that close corner on bomb and shit. But
yeah,
like,
default corner.
Yeah, what would you do here, Chris?
They just need to find a way to group. Like, if they can't do that, like, at least just looking at it from a hindsight situation, like, Gwyn should have instantly pounced on this guy when Purge started shooting. Because if he does that, he relieves some pressure off of Tej, but Tej gets overpressured on bomb, especially when Fellow dies. He's pretty much a sitting duck, and then he dies. So, I mean, like, just watching this, Gwyn should have probably helped, but, like, in general, they should have, like, tried to group. Like, for example, as soon as Tej gets this bomb down, Fellow's B Street, he should probably look B Street and be like, okay, Tej, I have your B Street, get out of the bomb. Like, and then Gwyn, and then, like, okay, then Gwyn can make a play or, like, hold there and then
not
wait off
together.
The info from B Street. Yeah, like, they just did nothing, right?
Yeah,
they need to get Tej off the bomb. Like, he can't just sit there by himself.
Yeah. I just feel like sometimes you watch teams in search, and it's like there's just no coordination. Like, it's just, like, basic shit. Like, just try and play with your teammate. Like, try and play off your teammate, play off your information. Basically what you just said, right? Like, yo, I have your B Street. Nobody's here. Like, you can come back. You know, he could play elevator. He could play with Tyler. Like, they could work trades. It's just they're not putting themselves in good positions, and it's just ended up hurting them.
Well, that's why statistically they're the, like, worst offensive fucking team in the league, because they plant bomb and they win bomb down percentages lower than anybody else in the league. They've struggled with this regardless of the fucking map they play.
Yeah. And then we hop into the control. Now, there was a broken GA in the control. Attached did come out and tweet about it and pretty much said it was an accident because Purge did throw a smoke by accident in the Karachi control, which, I mean, watching it back, it did look like it was an accident. I think he just thought he had it stun on, and he picked his S&E class. But it definitely always raises concerns when a GA is broken. I know everybody was flipping out when it happened at the time, but I thought Dylan Attach's tweet was good. He just came out, said, yeah, we threw it. We broke it. Unacceptable. Boom, boom. Apologies, and I just think Purge had the wrong class on. You guys aren't looking too into this broken GA, are you? Or are you looking like...
I just find
you think they're scumbag.
Dylan's response is like, if we had gotten the kills, this would have been like in Formula 1 when you make an illegal overtake, you give the place back. That's their equivalent of what they would have done. I like that Dylan insta-tweeted this after the series. No controversy, took responsibility for his team. That's some good captain material, Tom, out of Dill.
Yeah, I mean, we were definitely all confused, right? Like, when it happened. Shout out to Dill, by the way. He just came in with an 86-month resub. So shout out to my man Dill and Attach. Yeah. I think we were all a little bit confused when the smoke flew out. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, broken GA. Didn't really matter much, but it did happen. Let's hop into the control. There was a couple offenses that were won here, and I just wanted to break down Carolina's setup here on the B side and just see how it kind of all broke down for him. And just kind of wanted to pick you guys' brain, like Sam, Chris, Pat, Ben, if there's anything that you see with Carolina's setup here that you would change. I mean, look how easy it is for Vegas to get onto this site. You can see the trades go down. There's only one guy left. All the kills go down, and boom, boom, boom. It's all over. I mean, it just seemed way too easy for Vegas there.
Well, that's what happens on this situation is, like, if you're not blocking red and they're spawning close, like, and you're coming off a defense, they're spawning up, and they're going to get those crosses faster than you, so you're on a big disadvantage on defense when these kind of mixed fest happens. I don't know if you had something else you wanted to say, Chris.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much what happened, but I mean, it's still a product of them, like, overchalling. Like, they initially have a setup here where they get a guy bottom ticket booth, I think that's Fellow, and then another guy player is red. So, like, their job is to stall so the players that are coming out over the half wall can get safely to the diner and then play like a setup around there. But they overchall. Like, you'll see the guy in the ticket booth, he actually sprints forward instead of just holding and chows the door, tries to catch a timing, loses that fight. The guy in red, I didn't really see what happened to him, but
he went
ends
to
up
chase
losing.
The trade.
Yeah, he probably went
yeah,
to chase the trade, something like that.
Red.
And then now, like, this guy's stuck watching the pinch, jumping over the half wall. Number 8's obviously not in a favorable spot, and they just get collapsed on. So yeah,
they're running.
Yeah, they're just trying to overcompensate. They're getting desperate. Like, they're just, you know.
But there's nothing to overcompensate for. You just had a three dead. They're all spawning out red. You know where they are.
Just get your gun up.
Yeah, just get into red and play corners. This is like free kills. This is where they should be picking up free kills. This is where people just walk into their sites and they just get easy pickups. But instead, they just sprint. Two guys literally just die sprinting. So I don't know what that was from Carolina. It just seems like they're blacked out sometimes. Like, they're blacking out and they're just not even thinking anymore. It just seems like they're going through the motions now and they're just like getting these matches over with.
I tip it. I respect it. Thank you, Carolina.
Respecters. And the same thing. I mean, this was the last offense where Vegas was able to get in there and break in, and just to kind of see how they were able to do that. Starts a Nero. He starts putting some pressure on him, like through the back of their spawn, which, as a sub player, this is what you want to do. You want to get somebody pushed up here. Linz was doing a good job of it in his series as well. Just getting pushed up here and being a nuisance and staying alive. It also spawns him a little bit deeper. But you can see now, Vegas, they're on the point. You have one guy pushed out red, one guy on point. The guy red dies. Nero makes a play here on this guy's side. Clay gets caught with his pants down. And last guy's on point. He gets pooped on. And this one's all over. I mean, it's just very, very easy for Vegas. Anything there that you guys would have changed?
If you want to rewind and just look at TJ's arrow, that's probably what I'd change. He goes to clear their spawn and just runs around in circles for 15 seconds.
Yeah, they're tweaking about a guy because fellow also hesitates, like coming off a spawn, looking behind them as if he's getting pinched. Like, they must have lost track of somebody.
They lost track of Nero. That's all it was. And like,
yeah, but bro, they're losing track of people, but they know they gotta be in a certain, like, if you lose track of somebody, you should just play with each other anyway. Just play tight and just make them come to you.
But it's not even that fucking complicated. Like,
you don't need to go running around looking for
Nero. Nero just got to kill like front yellow alley. Like, he's either gonna be in your spawn, right, killing you off spawn, or he's gonna be in this yellow alley. So like, when they come off spawn, they get into this diner. Like, somebody should just get on the counter and look at this fucking alley. Like, or if you're going to just ignore them and just go through, right? So you'll see right here, number 5 and number 6. Okay, number 5 ends up getting picked. Number 6, if he just gets here, he just turns. He probably gets some bad timing here. He gives it up. And then Nero makes a play. I mean, really.
The fact that they don't clear yellow alley is insane.
I think Clay also got caught here throwing a stun. So that's just unfortunate. He couldn't take the gunfight. So, I mean, it was a good play on Nero, but, like, they're just pissing themselves because he's in their spawn and they don't really know what to do. So. Yeah. They're just hesitating.
You see the copy pasta in the chat right now? This is why GAs don't work. Look how they brush it off. Like, fuck it. But NYSL in Seattle had punishment. I mean,
Settle had punishment.
The fuck you want me to do? The teams will punish them. What the fuck? You want me to enforce the goddamn crime? Like,
well, that because Pat is fucking. I love that. Pat to do the punishments.
Yeah.
That's going to be like in Gladiator, like the fucking.
That's punishment's going to be a roster change so you can stop watching these teams.
Like, what do they think? We're the ones fucking deciding whether these guys get scrims or not? Like,
yeah, nah. Well, I mean, on top of that, like, it's very situational, too. Like, you could tell if somebody's blatantly breaking a GA, right? And you could also sometimes tell if it's, like, accidental or... Like, today, the smoke with Purge, like, the smoke spot didn't make any sense. And the way he threw it, you could tell he knew. He thought he had a stun in his hand. But, I mean, yeah, I can always see why people get pissed about these GA shit, but the Slay is right, guys. We don't control that stuff. Like, we don't control what happens. If anything, we were the ones who got it started with the snaking shit, or when I got it started. I was the guy who got the snaking shit even GA'd. We'd be seeing nonstop snakes all year if we never went through that one stream and got snaking GA'd.
We give our opinion, but it's up to the pros to kind of, like, make their decision, right?
Yeah, but somebody said don't stop pushing. Yeah, we might need to fucking get those streams going again and start taking a look at these GAs. But honestly, it's been pretty good. There hasn't been a lot of broken GAs, and it feels like everybody's been following the rules. So it's been good, man. Been good. But any final thoughts on a Carolina-Vegas series, guys? Any final thoughts?
Fuck no.
Obviously. Two first-round buzz.
I mean, if you're Vegas, bro, like, it would be insane if they convert this momentum. It's unlikely, but if they can come out and they're going to play Toronto winners round one and they can upset Toronto and actually, like, lock in this fifth overall team spot, it'd be great because a number of teams we've put so far in that spot have fucking faltered weeks later. We'll see if maybe
Toronto. These guys could go to the event and get top four, top six. I have no faith in them winning online matches, like, at all.
Vegas?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought you said fucking Carolina.
No, I'm talking about Vegas.
Never mind. Sorry. I blacked out.
You know, Carolina.
Nah, Vegas look good. Vegas do look
Vegas,
good.
Vegas look
Carolina's
very good.
Online splits are higher than everybody's look because they
had one of the easiest strength of schedule that we've seen across the entire season so far, and they're like 2-5.
Bro, I can't remember if Scrap was in the watch party or like we talked to him somewhere, but Scrap was saying that Vegas is even like a really good scrim team. Like, so like these guys are obviously
they have
putting
good,
it together.
Bro, they have very good systems
too. Yeah, they're putting it together in matches. They're doing well in their scrims. Like, you can tell that they're playing consistent Call of Duty right now.
Well, Tom, do you want to talk about the Gwen thing?
Yeah, I mean, I was pulling up some tweets. I mean, I showed the McGee response to Gwen because Gwen obviously tweeted out that team's dog shit and fucking a whole bunch of shit was going on. McGee tweeted back at him saying you haven't won anything and blah, blah, blah. Gwen responded. He said, having accomplished nothing, that's a fact. Let my fucking ass up doesn't change the fact I'm the best player in the lobby and feel like we shouldn't be losing. I don't give a fuck if it hurt their feelings. We suck right now. Proud of them. And then Nero, my man Z Carbone, said my bad and then added the rest of the Carolina squad.
What does that even mean though?
What do you mean?
Like, why would he even add them? Like, they know he's the best player on the team.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, I Gwen. It's not a shock that he's the best player on the team.
Everyone
but I think
in the
for
community
him,
knows that Gwen is the best player
right.
on the Carolina.
But for him
team.
To go out and say it, Pat, I think is a little that.
I don't mind it if he knows he's the best player on the fucking team. I'd say it. I want my teammates to be better.
Yeah,
the way that Gwen is literally fucking venting his frustration. Yeah, it's like toxic teammate vibes. I'm sure he's just flustered, but at the same time, like, it's just pointing to the inevitable, bro. Like, this guy does not want to play with these guys. I'm sure there's going to be roster changes in the future. If I was their management, I would just ask him what he wants to do and just follow his lead. Because at this point, like, I just think this roster is beyond saving. Too many inconsistent factors. They've regressed heavily since their roster change, and I don't see them making another run like they did at the last major, placing pretty decently. So
what did Gwen just say in chat, Tom? Because it scrolled too fast.
I don't know. I did pull up his tweet where he was saying.
No,
he's
literally in chat right now and just said something. But
oh, is he? What did he say? He said, at least didn't mean to come out that way at all. Yeah, no, he said
it wasn't about his team.
Yeah, it wasn't about his team.
Well, I mean, dude, like everyone, no one ever intends that shit. It's not like you ever intend ill will upon your teammates or anything like that. Yeah. But like, well, clearly the frustration is like getting to him. Like, it's
fucking I was talking about this before. Yeah, like when you're younger and you're like, you really want to win, you get emotional when you lose. Like, you get pissed. Like, you just like, you can't control yourself. And then you got fucking Scrappy in the chat. You got who's another fucking chirper. You got Scrappy telling Gwen not to take it down. A whole lot of shit. But Scrap, you deleted fucking tweets too. You're all deleting tweets. Okay, you guys are young. You guys are young. You'll figure. You guys will learn that none of this shit's worth it. Man. You'll learn none of it's worth it. You won't. Hey, as you get older, you'll stop tweeting stupid shit. You know what I mean? You'll stop tweeting. You'll learn. You'll learn, guys. Yeah, these young guys in the chat, these young rookies and shit, you know? Guys, any final thoughts on the drama, the tweets, the fucking series, anything? Ready to move
Hell
on?
Hell no.
GG go next. Bro.
All right, GG go next. Guys, before we move on to the next series, we do have an announcement to make here live on The Flank. First and foremost, we are partnering up with Xfinity to do The Flank live from Miami next week. So huge shout out to Xfinity for coming in hot and helping us get down to the event, man. None of this would be possible without them. So everybody show some love to Xfinity. We'll be very close to the venue. We'll be like in a hotel. We're also going to do, I'm going to do a greet, like a meet and greet on Saturday. I know Sam and Pat won't be joining us at the event. There's a lot of back and forth. You guys are still more than welcome to come, Sam and Pat, if you want to come. I'm just, I know there's a lot of back and forth. They might not be there, but they'll still be on for the show and we'll be doing everything remotely.
And
so,
the watch parties if they want to join us.
Yeah, and the watch party, everything will remain the same. Yeah, everything will remain the same. So it'll be fun. And then we'll try and get some guests on for the show as well. So it'll be fun to be there. But we also got a giveaway that is going on right now in the chat. FaZe Clan and Xfinity are throwing a weekend after party Sunday night at that Live nightclub, 21 plus only, featuring Lil Wayne, who's going to be performing at the nightclub. So if you guys want a chance to see Lil Wayne, go to the club. I'll probably be there. I don't know. Maybe some other people will be there. If you guys want an opportunity to be a guest and go, the giveaway is pinned right now to the top of the chat. We are giving away 4 tickets to Live nightclub, 21 plus only. Remember that, guys.
I think K-Son's also performing that.
Yeah,
K-Son
will be there as well. So if you guys
have
never...
100 racks.
Yeah, he'll be performing 100 racks. No, I'm just kidding.
I think Benjay has a feature with Wayne as well. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Sir.
Young Money.
But yeah, huge shout out to Kayson. You guys know Kayson is co-owner of Atlanta FaZe. He's also a DJ. He performs a lot at these clubs. He'll be there as well. So if you guys have never seen Kayson perform, he'll also be there. But yeah, guys, giveaway up top. Best of luck to you guys. We're obviously going to continue to show. But once again, can we give it up for Rexfinity for the one time?
People asking your chat if I'm going to be there. Absolutely, I'll be there.
Yeah,
I'll
me,
be
there I'll be there. Ben will be there. Chris.
We're enjoying the scene feature. Yeah, man.
We're going to be taking an absolute, like, that Uber back is going to be brutal, but it's good.
Yeah, Ben's going to be fucked up.
Ben Jane to see, Ben.
I'm going to be cross-faded. Yeah. It's a good thing I didn't book golf fucking Monday after because, you know.
Yeah, we're thinking about doing an IRL golf stream, but let's move on. Let's go to the next series of the day. We have the Minnesota Rocker going up against the Miami Heretics. Vivid, he came out on a video, and I think the question was, who do you think is the most overrated team in the CDL? He came out.
No, was this a Juju series?
I didn't know that. Vivid came out. He said that Miami is the most overrated team in the CDL, and he got 3-0'd, pooped on, slammed. You take a look at the scoreboards here from the map set. I mean, the Rio wasn't close. The control wasn't close. The Destiny went back and forth, but Miami got the better of them in the last couple rounds. I mean, this was a pretty smooth series for the Miami Heretics. Well, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Oh,
red
shit.
Carpet.
Hey, you can see the jump scares there.
Pat, your immediate reaction.
Let's go straight to the slave.
Why is Awakening in the league?
Challenger's calling. Is Yavin in there? Was he in Challenger's calling?
I think
He was. The whole squad was. No, never mind. Accuracy and Vivid were in CDL caliber, I believe.
You had Linz in Challenger's calling?
No, Linz is a rising star. Okay. As proven here today.
Sure. Pat, why don't you start things off? What did you think about the series?
Shit versus shit, Tom. And today the Miami were the better shit. They smoked the Rocker. I know we talked about this before, like, especially after Major 1, people were like, oh, maybe the Rockers, the 5th, 6th best team in the league, and then they come to Stage 2. Not only do they have no ice for the largest start of it, but now I just think they're dog shit. This team has lost it. I think they're mentally compromised. I am begging for a Minnesota Rocker roster change. I have been for a while. Again, this is why you don't wait too late when you know this team cannot, you know, reach any ceiling higher than what we knew. And now they're 1-6. They lost a ton of opportunity to gain points in Major 2, playing some pretty bad teams after the first little bit. And yeah, I mean, they basically that gap that they had from their placement at Major 1 is pretty much gone now, right? Like,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. They had a very good opportunity, which, like, making a roster change when you're playing quote unquote well is like, barring like Toronto Ultra for Hixey kind of thing, like not going to happen. But Rocker really had a chance. Yeah, exactly.
Bro,
but
you guys want to know something?
Rocker had a chance here for Wake.
What rank do you think Rocker played terrible this split one series? What rank do you think they are right now in the CDL?
They are probably sixth.
What, like, where are they in the standings?
They're fifth.
They're fifth. Yeah.
They're safe by fucking 35.
Aren't they like six and wait, Ben? Aren't they like 6-12 or something?
6-11, yeah.
Yeah, they're, like, yeah, exactly.
But it's only because if you take away 20 points, though, which is what the gap they got for winning those series on land.
Exactly.
They're
so,
really right there.
Bro,
they're
actually looked at this.
Well,
I looked at this the other day.
35-point clear of Thieves. Like, go ahead.
Dude, I looked at this the other day. I was mind blown. So, Rocker are 6-11 in sixth. Carolina are 4-11 in 11th. And they have, like, a 40-point differential because of their Major 1. Like, if Rocker had made the change when they had that momentum for Wake, because he is not good. Sorry, put it bluntly. He is not good at all. If they had made that change, they really, like, they're still in the fifth spot. Granted, they kind of blow, but, like, they had an opportunity here to, like, really push forward with all these CDL points.
They
could have
got the best player because players would want to join their team.
Exactly.
They could have got Geo. Like,
exactly.
Listen, this I'm gonna call how I see it, bro. This franchise has a terrible history of absolutely blowing all momentum in the middle of the season. They've only nailed it once. It was the time they picked up Eli. And at the end of the year in Cold War, they were a decent team, won that Major 5 in fun fashion, and obviously played good at champs. Every other year with this Minnesota team, they've absolutely fumbled the fucking bag in the middle of the season. And I agree with all my co-hosts here. They are heading to a critical part in the season. They're likely going to get probably dead last this tournament unless they do some crazy shit. They get to land. They need to react and make a change because I'm going to tell you, their first couple of matches when they come back from this online split, we want to ready to hear this shit because it's like, I think it pretty much is a point. They have Miami. They have Miami. Miami coming off a home event, probably with Real. So that'll be roster change. You got FaZe, New York, and then Boston. So like those first four matches are going to be super key for them because this team has been streaky, bro. Like think about it. They got off to a slow start. Yeah. They got hot at LAN, and now they've been fucking terrible. And they beat Seattle and then lost to Miami. So actually, take that back. They
are crazy.
First four matches. Sorry. Or no, FaZe, New York, Boston, and LAG, but go ahead.
You know what's crazy? We were talking about it yesterday, right, when our intercommunity questions, how, Pat, you were saying that, like, if you want to get in the league, like, you should be a sub. Well, I do agree with you. Right now, honestly, it's probably the best time to be, like, an AR player, an up-and-coming AR player. Too. Because
like, this is the best opportunity.
If you want to get on Rocker, yeah.
If you want to get on Rocker.
No, there's a lot of teams. There's a lot of teams.
Like, right now, for example, like, Carolina's, their ARs have been slacking.
To be fair, Vegas's AR was so bad, they had to put him on a sub. So that's a little different.
Rocker. He's been playing good.
Bro, Rocker, LAG, like,
Rocker, LAG. Team of the week this weekend.
Well, LAG has four open roster spots. So does the Ravens.
LAG has multiple. Rocker has, at the very least, their AR players have been,
this is just
have
the
been
best
really fucking
that
poor. Like,
that's, it's the best opportunity for all Challenger players because there are five teams who need to drop all four players.
Honestly, though, like it sucks. It sucks to see like some of these people like potentially like being
that's
ready
why
to
the
get kicked out of the league.
Is calling. There's a tier there for that reason.
It sucks to see that there's a lot of these people that are potentially going to get phased out at some point soon just based on their performances. But at the same time, I'm kind of happy because like, especially when I used to play Challengers, like, looking at it, like, being an AR player, I was like, damn, this shit sucks. Like, it's impossible to get on a team. But now there's a fuck ton of opportunities. And there's a lot of good AR players out there in Challengers that have been playing really well. So, I mean, hopefully they get their chances soon. Because it's going to be awesome to see new faces, like, finally.
I wonder, and it probably won't happen because all these teams are fucking pussies. But, like, I liked what Carolina did before the last event where they made the roster change the week before. And let it roll. I doubt any of these teams are going to do it before Monday roster lock, but get ahead of what's going to be a crush of teams making a change. Like, it is a bit of a mix fest, and some players will have multiple offers. But if you have an opportunity to maybe get a honeymoon ride and get some points in this event, it's going to be key going into that last major of the season, having some kind of point advantage.
If you're a pro team right now, like looking at making roster changes for an ARs, do not go for any of the recycled fucking pros that are ARs in there, unless maybe Cammy. I think Cammy's actually really good, but, Sam Welly, Dylan Rex at the top of my list, Brack at the top of my list. Like, if you're looking at changes, bro, like, at least from the NA side, right? If you can dive into EU, Beans is still good.
Cobra.
But yeah, Cobra, I don't really know too much about Cobra.
Yeah, Clips from the series, Tom?
He's been playing good. It seems
Lunar's also pretty good.
Yeah, Clips from the series.
Like three.
Okay, I was going to say, this shit sucks.
Two X them, the series Tom. Two terrible. X them.
2x Eclipse is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, is there anything else you guys wanted to say before we head into some clips? Eclipse.
Good run, win, Miami. Eclipse. Good win. That's what I'll say.
I called this yesterday, bro. Real Madrid win, Miami Heretics win. Shout out to Vickle.
Yeah, that's good work. Good work, man. Fuck it. That's all. Go fuck yourself. All right, let's take a look at some clips that are coming in hot. One of them was the post plan here. This is what I was talking about in the last series, how there was a post plan with Minnesota Rocker that I just wasn't understanding. And I just feel like when you plant this B-bomb down, you just can't play this default corner, bro. Everybody plays this fucking corner, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of this corner, bro. It's way too predictable. Everybody knows you're there. I'd rather you try and jump underground or fucking make a play street, elevator or some shit, work with your teammate. And you can just see how everybody just collapses for the Minnesota Rocker. Now, in a perfect scenario, your Minnesota Rocker, you get the bomb down, 4v4 situation. How would you guys set up here? And 4v4, Lynch tries to jump up. He ends up getting killed here. I thought for a second he was making a good play, throws a smoke down, but good play
for
Miami.
You think the issue, Tom, that people play that corner because they don't have, like, helipad control and they're worried about, like, jumping back towards the spawning?
Slide out.
And not necessarily. Some people will play that corner because they'll be like, I have bomb until I die. Like, that's like a pretty common comm in Search and Destroy when like teams are like setting up. One player will just be dedicated to essentially sitting there watching the bomb. And it's not like the worst corner because, yeah, it's like readable, but like your bait for your team and your buying time. So it really all depends, especially. And if you have a sub, it's not terrible either. So I think it's more so on the rest of the team to kind of like cover that guy's like open lanes and make it so he has to take a 1v1 from like a guy hopping up on him or something like that. But like Lamar is in not really a good spot. Like, I think he needs to be actively like shouldering the B street.
Yeah, he wasn't very active or up watching top. It. He didn't have any info there. He was just watching the stairs, but
And then number five is like pushing underground from the looks of it. Like he's not really like doing anything or watching much. He's just kind of like waiting to activate.
He was looking for the hop up. That's what he's staring at the whole time.
I don't mind what number seven is doing, because if they buy him enough time, he can make a play. I think it's mostly on like number five and number six to kind of be a little bit more active and prevent the guy from dying on site right away. Like they need to help him more and get more open.
He kind of got left out to dry. He got left out to dry.
Yeah, exactly. Like they have nothing for him, dude.
I was going to say, I don't really like Big Wade being that far away. You say you don't mind it, but I like that he made a play fast. He didn't wait all day. He didn't make a play very quickly.
Lamar shouldn't have been top propane looking at mid. Like the guy on the site should be like the guy that's either shouldering his mid or like centering and preparing to take a gunfight for a guy hopping out like and challenging him for mid. While like Linz could have either like sat back underground or regrouped B Street, and then like Lamar and him could have double teamed a lane and then like baited the guy on the site while Wake made a play. Yeah. Like they're just too separated. They're not helping each other properly.
Round, Lucky makes the fucking play. It's a 2v3, 25 seconds
left.
No,
this round's inexcusable.
And look at what Lucky does. I mean, he runs up mid. He pistol whips Vivid. Nobody can even trade him. He's in the middle of the map, and nobody can find a trade here. And then Lucky somehow is able to get out of this situation by winning another one. He wins another fight, and a 2v3 absolutely collapses there for Minnesota Rocket. What were they doing there, guys? What was that?
I think they forgot they were on defense.
What happened with Lamar here? How did this guy run up mid-map on contested? Did Lamar black out?
So number six is on top of I'm pretty sure number six was on top of the stack on his left, looking at like the B-bomb site, I think.
He gave it up first.
Yeah, he backed up to kind of look at propane. I think he's looking towards like propane or something.
Did he blink? Did he blink?
He blinked. It was a long blink.
He might be crouched on the head glitch looking towards top propane. Like he gave it all
that's
up.
That's insane.
But that's a bad play.
Rainbow Six angles.
But that's what I'm saying. Like if he's doing
that's still a good fight from the head glitch.
Bro, you are on a 3v. You're in a 3v2 on defense. If you don't square up middle map on a fucking heady, like just hold it. There's no point in giving yourself a bad time in there. But bro, I mean, Lucky just makes an unbelievable play. Like we can nitpick all we want. This guy literally three pieces them with 20 seconds left on offense.
Yeah. I don't like how Lamar, and then in the 2v2, Lamar pushes and Big Wig kind of just sits there like, are they pushing him or not? You know, and it's like, whatever it is, do it together. Lucky made the fucking play, though. What a play from Lucky. Yeah. I fear I had the less on Lucky, and that didn't work out this match. But Matt Lucky went insane there. So really good individual play there from Lucky. Just wanted to highlight that because it was a Lucky masterclass at the end of the map too. I think Lucky had 15 kills at the end of the map too, if I remember
something
correctly.
Something like that, 14 and 4, 15 and 4, something like that.
Yeah, just taking a look at it. Yeah, no, he was fine. He was 15 and 4 here in the map too. So.
Somebody in chat like brought up a good point. Like there's just so many like things that they could have just did better in that setup. Like for example, that guy Helly Stairs, he has B-bomb, right? He's looking at it, but he also can see propane. Like he can see top propane.
There's no reason
that the guy even should be looking propane, like at all. Like the guy should be either watching his back blue to make sure the guy on the helipad or heli stairs doesn't get flanked, or should be watching his mid. Like they're just not aware of the situation, what they have cut, I guess.
They didn't know what the fuck was going on. 3v2.
They blacked out, bro.
Lucky ran up the middle of the map, popped a three-piece. What are they doing? And we go over to the control, and this was the one offense that Miami was able to win. And then they just won their Ds, and they were able to win this map nice and easy. And just to see how this all unfolds, Eric Boom hits a nice little late flank there. He's going to find those two kills, and that's kind of just going to open things up. I'm actually curious. I'm surprised that they're not looking at this, because look at how close they spawn there. Like based off their spawns alone, I thought maybe they were going to read this a little bit or somebody was going to pick it up just because Lucky was kind of pushing that, Eric Boom was pushing that left side of the map, but nobody picks it up. And Eric Boom just gets a free pinch on these
guys. They just wanted to get into the trades cause they were going down. That guy is like a less important gunfight, when trades are happening, but they just bought enough time for his play to be impactful. They just wanted to get over the wall. Cause again, trades were going down behind the B point.
I think that's more so like a really good timing just by Eric.
But they turned when they spawned. I think number eight turns. Reese like gave it a shoulder. Like he knew something was up. But when his teammates started dying, you kind of got to just jump over at that point.
Lucky made great plays there as well. Getting pushed up, finds a kill. He stays alive. He baits, and then another guy comes in, helps him, and then he buys some time. He wins another one on hill, and Eric Boom, he's able to get that 2% of flank. So good plays from Lucky. Good offense from Miami. Minnesota, they got broken down yet again here. any offense. And this is when we all knew it was just a 3-0 here. This was a 3-0. It's a sweep. Get it out of here. This is over with. We'll end it there on the Clips for that series. Any final thoughts, guys, on the Miami and Rocker series?
I think Miami, you know, I'm curious to see going their home major, a little bit of momentum. Obviously, don't expect upsets in the top four, but can they find a way to get like a top six? Maybe if one of the top four kind of choke in the bracket, maybe get a top four placing. It'll be a big momentum grab and keep them like ahead of the pack on the momentum. Obviously, maybe Real will rotate after this major. We'll see, because we saw Real tweeting out some jersey picks this week. And for a Rocker, I think it's a roster change soon, and we'll see when they pull the trigger on it.
Hoping to God it is.
Yeah,
I hope Real comes in. I like Real. I think he's a good player. Yeah.
I think Wake seems like a decent kid. I just think at this point, you're going to lose a big disadvantage.
He's got too many reps and not shown us anything to save his spot right now.
They just got to figure it out.
And then let's hop into the last series of the day. This was the Toronto Ultra going up against the Los Angeles Thieves. Toronto 5-2 in the stage. LA Thieves 4-3. The S&D was the one map that Thieves were able to take from Ultra, but the respawns for Ultra were very comfortable. Even the first map was comfortable for them. It looks a lot closer than it actually was. They were up a shit ton of points, and LA Thieves brought it back towards the end. They started shooting their guns, and they got some time, but it was chalked. We knew it was all over.
I'm scared.
Should we scroll down and see what's going on?
Show me the red carpet. Blow it up.
Oh, my God. Dan Ghosty, he's ripping papaya and still dropping numbers. He needs some help. They got to start passing the blunt around.
It's still shooting.
They got to start passing that rotation, thing around. Bro. They got to start passing it around. Go ahead, man.
I made the joke on the watch party that, like, you know, he was the one. You know, he started off. Everybody took one hit, so they're done. Now he's got to finish the shit like.
Nightmare blunt rotation.
Yeah, everybody's got to fucking contribute. I actually think let's start off. I want to have an interesting conversation because we talk about like these getting shut on whatever we did that yesterday. Are you guys a little bit worried about Toronto's S&D going in this major?
Yeah,
they've looked a little.
They'll be fine come tournament time. I think they'll be fine come tournament time.
I mean, they're going to be good. They're going to be good. They're not, but I don't think they're going to be as good as they were.
I think they'll have one of the best S&D performances they've ever had.
I don't know about
you
that.
You think so,
Slade? Just looking at the numbers, bro, and just everything, they're one of their strongest maps got taken out. So, like I said, they've just been looking for a map to replace it, and they still, I don't think, have found it yet. I mean, I don't think they're terrible at every search, but they're not as good as they were. They're not as safe as they were in search as they were last book, because now teams can just veto. What's the map they're good at? Is it Karachi?
I mean, listen. They can just
veto Karachi and then play them on the other maps that they don't really have.
So this is how it goes down. They are, obviously, we're a great scale. We're pointing to your point. They're a good Karachi team, but they refuse to play Invasion Search. They've tried Terminal during this split. They got fucking destroyed by Optic. They've tried High Rise now. It's not worked. They've tried Rio, and it's a mixed bag. So I think it's just going to be accepting that you're – I mean, I would say of the maps, like, remaining – I assume Rio is the one they're probably going to figure out the major and see if that's your clutchable one. But, yeah, no, they've got a huge S&D map pull problem. Yeah,
because if team just vetoes Karachi, like, it's just, like, they don't really have a leg to stand on. But I think they'll still be fine. I'm sure they're going to – they'll be okay.
Hey, Scrappy said Ben's brain dead.
Scrap, prove me wrong at the major, bro. Prove me wrong at the major. I'll just say the opposite, bro.
Just looking at the numbers, you're not wrong. Like, at the end of the day.
Anybody have some thoughts on the series? Pat, any thoughts
Afro's
on the series?
Afro's not shooting his fucking gun.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Toronto's got, like, every single player except Ghosty on the Thieves needs to go. I don't care that they're 4-3. That's the record cheese that we've been talking about. Ghosty's the only solid player on his team. I mean, the only one.
Bro, I've said it, and like some people have said I'm too harsh, but like, bro, Ghosty's the only solid one. Afro is just terrible. Kremp has
I actually don't think Nasty's
okay,
horrible.
Okay, yeah, let me finish. I was gonna go through one. I think Kremp's had one good series, but he has potential. Like, I think, like, if you're looking at SMGs that you can bring in from Challengers, you're probably not gonna really get
I know
a
what
better
it is
subset.
With Kremp, bro.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're probably not going
to
really get a better substitute.
Fucking sub-duo is not shooting his gun. That's what it is.
You're not going
to
get a better substitute,
too close
so it doesn't matter.
Monitor, bro. He's sitting too close, bro.
He's on independent real life.
Nah, yeah, he's on independent IRL, and he's not looking at his mini-map, bro.
He's on 40 FOV.
You're not going to get a better substitute for Krem, so you're going to keep him. And then I think Nasty hasn't been bad, and he definitely at least puts up damage. He just probably doesn't finish kills. But, like, the main outlier, bro, Afro is terrible at everything except for search.
He's very good at search. He is a good search player.
Bro, he just has the sprints. He just has the sprints and respawn. Like, bro,
no, he doesn't. He has the nothings in respawn, nah, bro. He's literally,
bro. He never has his gun up, Sam. Sam, he's always dying.
He's always dying.
Dude, he just
sprints in the beginning of the year. Like Sam, Sam,
he's got 9,000 damage. Sam, this guy's not aiming in. Sam, he's not aiming his gun.
I'm watching him play respawn. Dude, like, he just isn't shooting his fucking gun, bro. Like, he's hiding in corners, and like, he has a good ass shot. Like, we see the things that he could do, but like, he's, I don't know if he's literally like scared to make the wrong play or what it is, bro. It could be.
He's
could be anything.
No, no,
he's not shooting his gun.
He's playing like recent form, like recent Fame form. Like, if you've watched Fame, it's like his like timings are just so terrible. Like, he just doesn't, like, he's not reading the pressure properly, so he's just getting caught with his pants down constantly. And it's the same thing for Afro. Like, he's just not, he's not contributing. He doesn't put up a lot of damage in the response. He doesn't get a lot of kills, and like, he's just, he's not,
bro,
doing
he
anything.
Put up five in sub base.
He's not
five?
Doing anything.
Five? Did he have five in his sub base?
Yes,
five.
Yes. He did. Kremp had. Dude,
Kremp got three kills in 5 seconds and then didn't
Kremp
get a kill.
Got, for yeah, he got three kills for the rest of the map or something like that too. Like, bro.
And this is a winner bracket team, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's just listen. I think for Thieves, like, they're another team. Like, I don't think you can run this four back after this major. I know, like, you picked Afro after Joe, but like, I think that's the next person to go, at least on this roster.
I know we hated. Slot. I know we hated the format where there were buys, for obvious reasons. But yeah, like, put them back. Winners round one, top four seeds get a buy. Everyone else starts in losers one.
So you want to put buys back in there?
Wait. Repeat that. That doesn't make any sense. We're gonna start in winners round one.
There is no winners round one. There's every team in top four seeds get a buy.
They get a buy. Yeah.
They start in winners round two. And the other eight teams start in losers one. How does that not make sense?
Because then people in losers are getting a bye because no one's dropping down.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Who cares, bro?
That's amazing. Listen, the
Pat's eight, point, these matches are auto L's before they start, bro. The only team that could potentially do anything is Vegas, and they're playing Toronto. Like, what do you want? Like,
bro,
these matches
this is what it is every
are
single
fucking
split.
Ass.
Like, there's one team that Wait, steps up a split.
Drunk?
And like, can make upsets and plays well, and then every other team gets pooped hoop tape besides the top four. Like, and
hey,
this time
just
it's
say no one drops out. Ben, what are you saying?
Bro, he's been ripping fucking molds.
How is a double in bracket going to work
start
with four
in
people
losers
on top
one.
And the bottom? Bro,
what? That's what happens saying? After winners round one anyway.
Bro, what are you? I know what
ben,
you're saying,
you know
but that's
how
a
bracket works. If eight teams start in winners and four teams start in losers, everyone who loses in winners one.
What are you? What am I hearing?
That
right
is
now?
What happens in a bracket.
Bro, just let's make this simple. Just go to a fucking pool play and then a fucking bracket.
Chat has been faded. Ben,
no, you're faded.
If
fuck
teams.
Any, fuck
ben,
this major
ben,
format.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Who gives you a question, brother?
If people lose in winners round one, where do they go?
You go to losers round one.
Okay,
it goes in the square hole, brother.
So there's
so there's
fucking part of a
so there's
eight
teams in losers
now.
Yes,
you're making the weirdest 12-team bracket I've ever seen in my entire life, bro. It's very
square peg goes in the square hole, brother.
Listen, it's very simple.
It changes nothing.
It's very simple, and you're seeing this with Halo right now. We should just go to pool play into a fucking bracket, and then the parity will work itself out amongst the bottom teams or whatever, and who's gonna make a run in a fucking tournament. Let's stop trying
ben,
to right size a
ben, special team special bracket.
Ben, you are smoking.
Jesus,
you are smoking the fucking good shit. Sorry for cussing. But
no, sorry for cussing. Thank you, brother.
Sunday, bro, because you're fucking rolling over to today.
Bro, everyone went, and you literally said, "Well, no one will drop down," and that's how it works. It's the same thing. Nothing changes. It's just.
Thank you, brother.
You're talking about eight teams and losers.
Bro, there's no way Dante doesn't know who's sketchy.
Hold on. Top. Before you go, Ben. What are you saying? You can't believe what I'm talking about with eight teams and losers. Every team who loses in the winners round one goes to the losers.
Yeah, you want eight starting in losers.
Yes, because there is such a because
they're auto going to start in losers.
Dog shit. Yeah, it's
yeah,
all going to be the
I
same thing.
Saying,
who cares?
We just
it's
have to
matter.
Watch one last series.
It's
That's
actually,
the whole point.
It's actually a stupid ass
it
idea.
It doesn't
That's
even matter. Who cares, bro? Give it up.
Right, sorry for cussing for Ben.
Fool. Ben is in.
Ben
is off.
If I see that extra fine esports,
bro,
I'm going to lose.
I need a mute button. I don't got it on TV.
We have only four good teams. There's a big difference.
I hope not.
All right, let's move on. Thank you, brother. By the way, Dante texted me and he said, "What the fuck are you doing with your hands and putting up the one finger?" Like, he doesn't know what's he doesn't know who sketches. Like, how do you not know who sketches, bro? What are you living under a rock or something? Fucking asshole. All right, let's go over to some clips. First and foremost, Dylan Envoy. I have to show the master flank here on the flank. I have to. I mean, this is phenomenal.
Bro, Dylan already won a tournament this year, bro.
Look at the route.
Get one. This is fucking cringe.
Look at the route here. Look at the inspirational route.
This is fucking cringe.
So he goes.
He already won major one, bro. Like, we can't have a fucking online match.
He goes all the way around. He knows his timings. He hits this flank nice and early. He gets out early. He finds one. He finds two. They pinch on it. And while he's doing that, look at the rest of Toronto, right? While Dylan Envoy is going all the way around, Toronto's pinching on in. They're just waiting. They're just waiting for Envoy to make that play. And they trust him. Insight doesn't give a fuck. He'll sit there all fucking day. And he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's waiting. Boom, the kills come in. Toronto's blocking both spawns. This is clinical Call of Duty, ladies and gentlemen. This is clinical Call of Duty. This is where the flank originated from.
Cringe shitter, gotta shoot people in the back.
This is why.
This is just how you play COD right here.
This is a cringe shitter, no gun skill, can't shoot him straight up.
This is why LAT was like really high in holding percentage, but they were like almost bottom four in like, or in not behold, sorry,
that
they were bottom four in hold percentage because they just can't fucking, they're not watching anything, dude.
Oh shit, I just fucking skipped all the way back. But yeah, that was a
clinical. Not this series again, please.
Yeah, sorry, bro.
Jump scare.
And then again, we go into the Rio. Then you can see Toronto Ultra, because of that break, they build a little bit of a lead. They hang on to it going into the second set. And this is where another break comes in. And I just love the plays here from Jamie Insight. I mean, Insight just makes the fucking plays here. I'm just going to let it play out from here just so you guys can kind of see the play and see how kind of all unfolded. But you can see Toronto. They actually get in here first. The streaks come in. Oh, sorry. I rewinded it too much. Or I fast-forwarded too much. Give me 1 second. This is why I always put on 720, because this shit don't fucking load.
God fucking damn it, Tom.
It don't fucking load, Chris. It don't load.
Len.
The best play right here is Jamie Insight. So you can see number three. He's pushed out here. And instead of him just running at the hill, he realizes the spawns based on his teammate's spawns. You can see Envoy spawns up. So the communication... Yeah, the spawns made no sense, but you could. But
why did number seven spawn there? Real quick. Hold on. Was number four blocking it in time?
Nah, that spawn was open, quick. Chris. I think that spawn's open.
Hold on 1 second.
I don't think that's that weird.
Are you tweaking?
I just want to see it.
Actually, no. It doesn't make sense for the sole fact that the back spawn on old is still open. Yeah.
There's still the back left.
It's still
spawn,
the old.
There's
still
two spawns back there. Yeah, it sucks.
But I love the play from Jamie, because as soon as Dylan spawns out, I'm sure the comms come in, and Jamie, he instantly realizes that something's up. So instead of him collapsing on hill, look at how he plays this. He finds one on the pinch, and he continues to hold as well. He doesn't just run at the hill like an asshole. He waits. Then he collapses when his teammate gets closer, and Toronto swarm in for the break. I mean, it was just fucking gorgeous. It was fucking phenomenal from Jamie Insight. That's the second break from Toronto Ultra here in the Rio. And then they were able to build their lead even more here and just collapse on these guys. Jamie has the streaks as well. And it was phenomenal work from Toronto. It's just the difference. I wanted to just show people, like, the difference in just coordination and individual play, like, waiting for each other, like, understanding where people are coming from. That's just really, really good work from Toronto. It's poetry, honestly, guys. It's art. It's art.
Are we Ultra fans? Are we glazing? Like, cool break, bro.
I mean, to be fair, though, Sam, we have fucking 8 teams in the league that, like, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of shit teams and a lot of shit plays that happen on a day-to-day basis. And you would think that a lot of this stuff
is... You need a palate cleanser every now and then.
Sam, exactly. Like, sometimes you need a palate cleanser. You just need to show people how to break and how to wait for each other and how to actually play as a team. Like, sometimes I feel like people forget, bro. You got to go back to the drawing board. But
I don't think they're capable.
They might not be capable, but I
don't even disagree with that.
Some people might not be capable. Bro, how are they not capable? It's so simple.
Yeah, but there's the game, and then there's the game within the game. And I don't think the talent in the 5 through 12, not all, obviously, there's some that are, but majority are not capable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very weird.
It's just an IQ diff, Tom. I said this before. The CDL, compared to the previous leagues in the past, I think there's a big IQ gap in generation.
You also called this shit at Champs last year, really, on Sunday.
What? I mean, Ben, I've said a lot of things, man.
What did you call
me? I'm early a lot of the times.
But the top heavy ship, how was the one to bring it up on the fucking Sunday flank? Like, whatever, 8 months ago, however long ago it was. But yeah, no. Yeah.
Also said the Gwynn guys 8 months ago, and those guys are all on different
never
teams.
Wrong, just early. And then we get into the S&D now. I just wanted to show Toronto struggles, and we just glazed them, so now we got to cook them, okay? Their S&D has been a little fugazi. This was a 3v4 that the Thieves were able to win, and you can see it starts with Kremp and Ghosty just making plays. Ghosty was able to get onto that bomb site, and then this ended up being a 2v2 situation. This was a massive round, because instead of Toronto going up 5-3 here, they end up kind of getting pounced on, and this is kind of where the comeback starts for like Thieves. I think Thieves won 4 straight in this one. Wait, did they win 4 straight in this one, or am I thinking of another series? Pretty sure
they won 4 straight in this one.
They won 4 straight in this one.
They won four straight in this one,
that's what I said.
Maybe not. I don't know. I don't remember if this was a series or not. But this was a big round here. I thought this is a round where Ultra need to close this out. They get the blood. It's a 4v3 situation. And look at how Thieves break them down here. Like, this is all solo plays from Thieves. And you can kind of see how it ends up happening. Kremp runs through the smoke. He finds one. Dan Ghosty's there. He gets another. And just like that, it's a 2v2 situation. Then you have Afro running down the middle of the map, just making a solo play.
I think that's like the biggest issue. Like, I'm sure Jamie saw him, but he probably thought he was in the site. And that's why this guy wasn't aware, because if Jamie would have been like, yo, he's in sight, or he could run up your mid or something like that, then Envoy probably would have looked to his left. But I guess he didn't.
Bro, that was crazy shots from Dan as well to end that round. That was a crazy shot. Really good shots from Dan Ghosty. He's continuing to rip that mulch and let it sing in these matches. And then we go over to the next one, the 4-5 round. Sam, I love this strat from LA Thieves. I don't know who made this play call, but I really like it.
It was me, Tom.
Sam? Did you draw this up for him?
Yeah, because this was me. I was on the whiteboard. We were in the practice room.
This is good because I feel like this is VOD review, bro. It's a common spot. People like to play in those pipes. And to be honest with you, a lot of people, everybody who plays those pipes, bro, gets like free kills. Like, I feel like nobody's ever looking at it.
Yeah, I love
people
watching our cams instead of the round.
Yeah, cool. I fucking... Oh, sorry. My bad. I'm on the fucking... Well, fuck yourself. I'm sorry. Oh,
I just think that was the Pine Park, huh?
That might have been Park, Slay. Might have been
Dan Ghosty rotated the blunt, I fear.
He rotated. It's being passed around, folks. But Sam, love this strat that you whipped up on a whiteboard. They actually checked this shit, which made me happy because I'm like, bro, people always play up here. Just look up. Afro doesn't look up, but Kremta... I think Kremp Afro, he does look up. It was Afro. He didn't check
number,
it. I thought it was Kremp.
Number three looking
no,
at?
It was Afro. Looked like he slid by it.
I think he's on the boxes in the windows looking at B Street.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of just redundant because Envoy's there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought Envoy was about to make a play here.
They just had crosses, but didn't have underground.
Yeah, it's cool that you know they that the guy was playing on those pipes. But like, so fun fact is I'm pretty sure you can, if you're proning on it, like the way Kleenex is, the way that it's angled, you can only prone and look towards the left. Like, you can't actually prone and
you'll
look
fall
towards
off
the right, or you'll fall off. So, like, if you are to attack this guy on top of the pipes, you always want to come through this left lane, like Afro and Kremp, where, like, Kremp are coming. But,
I also like the fact that they're doing something together, and it's not just some dumbass shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's actually, like, a good play call. You have two and two, just, like, gang up with a teammate. They work the map together. And then I also like that when Dylan gets his kill here, Dan pounces and gets the trade. Like, so many times I see people get kills and people are just waiting around and nobody gets the trade. I like that Dan, he reacted quickly and traded out Dylan there. And he almost killed Scrap here as well. He almost took his fucking wig off.
One thing, though, about Toronto is that, like, I just didn't like how reserved they played that defense. Like, they didn't really have anyone scouting for proper information. Like, they had a guy back Shaq. He's just staring at blue. Obviously, Kleenex is playing that sneaky spot. Envoy's just staring, like, right down mid-alley. But, like, I feel like you can just, like, those people can be a lot more flexible and, like, throw some shoulders B Street. Like, you would have seen Ghosty and Nasty potentially pushing up that street, right? The guy that's on top of their windows, like, maybe be a little bit more active in those windows and see if you can get angles through mid or, like, underground. Like, they're just kind of all sitting back and basically hoping that LA Thieves run into their setup. And it just didn't work out. They just gave LAT way too much room to work with.
Yeah, no, I agree. And this is where it falls apart in the control. For LA Thieves, I mean, the control was just easy sailing for Toronto Ultra. But Sam, looking at your squad here in the defense, what didn't you like about their setup, or do you think Toronto was just able to break him down? Because it also looks like maybe some more overchows and some more sprints coming in. Like, right here, like, Kremp should be catching them sprinting. Like,
correct.
They should be running at Kremp, you know what I mean? But instead, he's running at them, and then the guy dies red, and then bada bing, it all collapses. And guys, I know this shit because I used to do this dumb shit all the time. I used to get roasted by my teammate. Like Crowder used to cook me, right? Like, yo, let them come to you. Like, you're talented. The game will feel a lot easier. You don't always need to chow everything. Like, get pushed up in good positions and make them come to you. Like when you had the macro control, when you had the advantage, you know, make the most consistent. Like sometimes, right? The reason why I would do it, right, is my argument was most of the time I'd hit it out, pop a fucking two piece and scrims, and I'm like, oh shit, look at me, I'm godlike, fucking, I'm shit on these guys, right? But when you get to a match and people are playing fundamentally sound,
the game slows down.
The game slows down, and you look like an asshole. Now you look like a fucking asshole.
I think that's just something that a lot of teams and players struggle with is like whenever they're like in a setup and they're trying to be a little bit aggressive, they struggle to kind of understand like who and where the first point of contact should be in their setups. And you'll often just like have a guy that like obviously shouldn't be the first point of contact. He should be completely reactionary, making the initial play and getting caught with his pants down. Yeah. So
I actually do like the routes that thieves take after the fact, though. They go around right and they try and play. Yeah,
they play correct off spawn, but
yeah,
as just a general concept, if you are a team, not even, this isn't even like a game mode, it could be hardpoint, could be control. If you're a team that is breaking a setup, you want these gunfights. You want the other team to run you. You don't want to have to check every corner. You don't want to have to expend your tax to clear rooms. You don't want to have to double chow 3-2-1 shit. Like, you want a freebie. You want someone to scam. So in a setup, someone just voluntarily sprinting around a corner to play a 1v1, like, that's ideal for you if you're trying to break a setup. So, I mean, we saw it in the previous series as well. When you're in red, like, you're the most important person on the map. If they get control of red, then your setup is pushed back. Like, you have one wave and you're fucking
done. It goes the inverse as well. You want them sprinting forward or sprinting backwards.
That's the thing, though. It's like in a setup on that map, like for that point, like the guy in red should never be the first point of contact unless they force contact like on him, like they push him out. Yeah. He should be completely reactionary. Like imagine the guy bottom red or bottom tickets, the first guy to like get engaged. Then that guy top red can come and help him through bottom red steps, or he can jump out the balcony and like repinch them bottom ticket. Like he's the reactionary player in the situation, and instead he puts himself as the first point of contact. So like it's just people struggle with it, dude, a lot of the time. That's like why people scam their setups.
Yep. And then we go into the last map, which is honestly just going into the second rotation. It was just a Toronto Ultra masterclass again, and just to show you some examples, it starts here. I mean, with the P1, or the second P1, so we go into a second rotation, and this is where the blender begins. How many times have we seen this back server spawn, this back P3 spawn, where they're just spawning by the water down there, and there's really nothing you could do, especially when you have Toronto just constantly pushing out top snow and just shooting across the map. You can see Envoy 2 cutting the map from P2. He's holding the OE, but he's also helping his teammates, just kind of putting in those crossfires, and then the blender spawns just come in.
This map fucking blows. Like, As a person that watches, obviously I play a little bit of ranked here and there, but just from playing, like, I would much rather play invasion like with like flukier spawns, because you at least have options. On this map, once you get that spawn, you are fucking screwed. It doesn't matter how good of a team you are, your options are so limited, and it's just force flooding. It's just force flooding a lane and hoping you win some trades to gain some space.
Toronto get a four dead, and then they block the back spawn. And then it's over with, bro. They spawn them surfer again, and they push out snow, and they can't do anything. This is why you see people like Afro and Card. They can't get kills. It's impossible. It's impossible to get kills.
You're running in a server, checking 100 corners and the top lane. You're either running in a P5 and getting mowed down by the window, or you're sprinting out mid-tunnel with no cover.
But map awareness. Like, Kleenex knows that he has teammates blocking the spawn and shit. And then once it starts getting closer, once you start getting to that 30-second route, they start giving up the back. They give it up now. They start working more kills, and then they flip the spawns, and the spawns start flipping, and it's clinical from Toronto Ultra. It's clinical. So the first they push out front, they get all the kills, they get all the time, and then once it starts hitting that 30-second mark, they start pushing, they get warehouse control, they flip the spawns. Now LA Thieves are spawning in the back. It's just LA Thieves are just caught in the masterclass. They're caught in the masterclass blender, and it's happening right in front of us, folks. I think they changed what the three hills, P1, P2, P3, right? They completely wiped them the second rotation. So it was just really.
Can you
good
show
place
me the scoreboard
them.
At the very, very end before they left the game?
Yeah, before they left the game, yeah, no problem. I could probably.
Curious.
Yeah. Can I pick up a thread, Chris? So obviously, like, I kind of agree. Like, sub base is a pretty cruddy map. It's tough to watch. Do you think, like, you know, if the Vista Hardpoint conversation comes in, do you think Skid Row should be Sub-issue of the map that comes out, or you think Invasion Hardpoint should be the map?
Both,
that
bro.
It's
going to
be a vote, and it's whatever biased team is going to vote for whatever fucking map that I want
to
play.
It needs to be both, bro. Like,
I agree. We don't have another replacement.
I mean, we might get one next season. Who the fuck knows? Hopefully,
I pray to God there's quicker. No deadline then.
This map is just terrible. Like somebody in the chat said, like, oh, why don't you take routes? What routes? There's nowhere to go.
You get a good team, they're holding everything. There's nowhere to go.
I will say, I'm not gonna apologize on behalf of these dog shit ass maps, but when we watch the talent level of Toronto and LAT, just because that's what we're talking about, like these maps look infinitely worse than they should be played hypothetically. Like we are watching Toronto just beat the ever living shit out of a team that they're clearly better than. And when we watch a map like Optic or whoever, Toronto or whoever, like in the top four, these maps play out completely fucking different.
Yeah.
And yeah, because their tug of war situations are just way less like clean cut. Like when you get,
but the maps are just more interesting to watch, is what I'm saying. Like we're watching dog shit lose to the best teams in the league, and we think that these maps are terrible, which they are not the best in the world. But these, like when we watch good caliber Call of Duty teams play these maps how they're supposed to be played, making the correct decisions off spawn, it's a completely different looking thing on your screen.
Yeah, of course, but that's like the problem with the maps is like there's
again the maps are shit. I'm not saying they're not, but like
you should always be punished for like going down four dead and like getting a less favorable spawn. But like some of these maps, like when you get that spawn, it's so unfavorable to the point where like you're like a team like FaZe or a team like Toronto could get realistically hardcore punished by a dog shit roster, where like as if you had a more balanced map set with better maps and stuff like that, the teams that are better are going to shine more, because even if they do make a mistake, their talent can help them get out of these situations. Whereas these map sets, like you can stranglehold some of the best players in the world because of, like, bro, they're in impossible situations half the time.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on. Let's do map predictions for tomorrow. We got a couple good series here. We have one good series. Well, that second series, that's big when it comes
because
to winners, right?
Because they're both
shit. But
Boston a winner getting situation basically.
LAG's,
yeah.
So LAG's what is 3-0
right? So ben, the reason why they're interesting is because these matches matter. Like these matches actually matter.
Is there like if Boston wins, like X happens to other teams situation, or is it like if they win, they're in?
Yes. I can tell you what it is. I'll read it out. Ready?
Go ahead,
if Boston wins, they end up in losers one. If Boston lose, they end
comms,
up
Pat.
In losers
Thank
one.
You, brother.
Thank you, brother. If Boston wins, they get the 7th seed and Miami gets the 8th seed. If Boston lose, then Miami gets the 7th seed and Carolina gets the 8th seed.
Okay.
Losers won for all those teams.
I mean, yeah, losers won regardless. Yeah, I'm just curious what would happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's
they get a little bit more screen time at Miami. We'll give it
that. That's how Carolina being 2-5 might sneak their way into this fucking winner's bracket. Actually, it might be two teams because Miami's fucking 2-5 too, and they're guaranteed winners right
losers
now.
Losers bracket's about to be lit.
Two 2-5 teams are going to make winners.
Losers bracket is going to be lit.
What the f-
this, Sam, to your point, this might be the first time in history I'm more excited for losers.
Losers
one
is important
than
as
one, right?
Fuck.
Losers one is so much better than winners one.
How did Friday? We've always fucking hated Friday at events.
Fridays are about to be awesome.
It's the best now.
Oh my wait, Friday. God. Wait, Friday.
The matchups
awesome.
Will actually
it's
be
a-
close.
Our Fridays are elimination day. Is elimination
nah,
day. That
we've
shit's
had
awesome.
Stinky Fridays in the fucking past, but nah, now it's gonna be kind of late.
I don't know. I kind of
I
enjoy
like,
watching.
I like the
like,
elimination day, bro. I like eliminating
but
teams.
But there was always like a second and third tier of teams, and then we watch a lot of second and third tiers, and the second tier would beat up on them. Now it's kind of flat.
Now
bottom,
everybody
so.
Sucks yeah, all the now, time, yeah, and Friday's gonna be a slugfest.
All teams and losers are equal. That's why it'll be good.
I love watching two good teams play against each other. And I also love watching two beat.
It's like driving slowly by a car accident, bro. It's just like you can't look away. You just gotta watch Carolina play the Boston Breach, bro. You just gotta look at it.
I think theoretically, the one winners bracket match is gonna be the Toronto Vegas match. We'll probably have this conversation tomorrow, but that's the one. It could be interesting unless somehow I don't know Miami and versus New York or Optic is interesting because I highly doubt it. But yeah, Seattle Boston is a win or you're in loser bracket situation for the Boston Breach.
Yeah. All right, let's go through predictions. Atlanta FaZe, LAG. I got Atlanta FaZe 3-0.
I think Chris has LAG.
Nah, I don't. Come on, man.
We all got FaZe?
FaZe.
Yeah,
FaZe.
All righty. We got Seattle Surge going up against the Boston Breach. I'm going to go with the Boston Breach 3-2. What do you guys think?
I like a grueling Boston victory. I'm down for that.
I cannot in good faith ever pick Seattle. Boston.
We
Thank
all
you,
got
brother.
Boston again? Boston. We all got Boston? Pat, you got Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty, yeah. And then we got the match that we've all been waiting for. The New York Subliners going up against Optic Texas. Both teams are undefeated in this stage. 6-0 from both teams, which means one team will be going flawless and one will be getting one loss on their resume here. So I am going to go first. I'm going to go... This one is so hard, bro. This one's actually so hard.
Don't overthink it, Tom.
Optic Texas, 3-2. Go ahead, Sam.
No way.
I'm going Optic Texas. I'm going Optic Texas.
I'm going to take New York strictly because I think they have just looked a little bit more dominant in their 6-0. That's all. I think Optic has had a couple close series. I think New York has a great phase win in the online qualifiers. They have beat the absolute shit out of everybody else. So I'm going to go New York here. I cannot wait to watch the series regardless, though. I think it's going to be good.
What do you think, Ben?
I think for me, New York's a better search team. So if this is a situation where trading mats, we get to a game five. I don't think New York's lost a game five this year, so I will go with them.
Yeah, I got New York just because, again, like Ben said, they are the best search team we have right now in this split, and they just look a lot cleaner than Optic. Granted, Optic have elevated their gameplay and shots. He looks great. I think all of New York has looked insane, so I got New York.
Pat?
So, I will say this, first and foremost.
Is Pat going to finally pick Optic for the first time in his career?
This has got to be an Optic angle, right?
It's got to be.
North Carolina, okay. where I'm
gotta
currently
be.
At.
Okay.
Just recently, in the last few months, passed legislation that online gambling, sports betting, is legal now in the state of North Carolina. It wasn't prior. Mm. So, DraftKings, FanDuel, et cetera.
Prize Picks
has been for a while, so I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going New York Subliners 3-0.
DoorDash, and I
will be putting my money where my mouth is.
Are you gonna tweet out your bet? Like, what are you doing here? Like,
you'll see what I tweet out. You'll see.
You imagine Pat has just like a 10 grand fucking money line New York to win the series or some crazy shit.
Like a Mayweather,
could you imagine?
Drake level ticket.
Could you
lost
fucking
like
imagine?
Dollars.
He has the Mattress King fucking 2 mil ticket.
I'm glad I'm the only one against the grain because I think I might be behind after Rocky.
Gersh knows, by the way. Gersh knows what I have.
Oh, shit. Gersh in the chat, like damn.
Gersh, you can vouch.
Who's in a lead right now with Breaking Point Predictions? Who's in a lead with that shit? You guys?
I think I am.
Are you
the video
lead,
I sent you, Gersh?
For all of us, or for like the show, I am. I think Rab beat me by one today because he picked Miami.
Yeah, Rab and I went 3-for-3 today.
Oh yeah, no, my predictions are definitely, they got to be looking rough, bro. My predictions are looking actually not that bad. Actually, somebody's getting shit on. Oh, Trey Boy Cardi's having a rough one over there.
Yeah, let's Trey's been kind of wilding on these picks. He's been trying to be.
Trey's been picking some rogue ones.
That's fair though. I be doing the same thing. I try and go against the grain sometimes to try and bring it back. Like if I'm falling, if like a series didn't go my way and I'm falling behind and shit. Like, but Sam, you are in the lead. You were the only. Oh, no, actually, sorry. Tactical Rab's in the lead.
Yeah, Rab's up there. The Miami pick set him over the edge.
Yeah, the Miami pick did set him over the edge. Look at that. That's phenomenal. It means Slayer are on the same Parasite. You're last here on the flank. You are last.
It's those LAG picks, bro. They'd be hurting Chris.
If I didn't pick LAG,
it's the LAG
every
picks,
series,
dude.
I would be in the lead, bro. I'm only down 3, and I picked LAG every series, and they are 0-6.
Yeah.
So don't. So stop picking.
So
LAG,
stop fucking
bro.
Picking
so,
them, moron.
No, I need an Optic no. W tomorrow to bring this back for me. It'll give me a nice. I'll get tied up. I'll be 1-under Sam if I get a nice Optic done tomorrow.
Thank God we get
it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, by that logic, though, Chris, I've picked against Optic every time, and they're 6-0. So
you did not pick
it.
There's no
also
way you
be
picked against Optic every time when they played Shadow.
I'd be
so
34.
You are lying.
I
got to go back to every single flake and see if Pat voted against Optic every single
He only end. Picks Optic against the super shitties.
Yeah, this yeah.
The unwinnables. Yeah, the unwinnables.
Shit, that would be 18, Sam. Fuck.
Well, I think my concern for Optic is obviously, I mean, I've been watching Bruce like during the days, and they have had some scrims off because I think Ken was battling.
Ken's something. Complacent, so, bro. They don't want to scrim.
So they're a little under practice this week. I still think they should be okay for this one, but just something to monitor going this series to wrap everything up.
Yep. Quick little reminder. Shout out to Xfinity again. We tweeted out the giveaway. I think the giveaway link is also there as well. Oh, yeah. Today's chance to enter. So if you guys want to go to this tweet, drop a like, drop a follow. Go show some love to the Flank social over there. Shout out to Xfinity yet again. None of this would be possible without them. And we're really excited to go to be at the event and do some cool things over there. So huge, huge shout out to them. Ben Genesee, where the hell did Ben go? He disappeared.
He's getting ready for the putt or something.
Oh, you getting ready? Oh, my bad. I just didn't see you there. Sorry. I thought you were gone. I'm sorry, Ben. Jeez. Relax.
Then there's 17 million on Yes. Don't let them down.
Jesus Christ. Is there that many on Yes? There is. 17 million channel points on Benji Nassim making a putt. Make that 18 million. 8 million on him missing it. Let's see if Benji Nassim. What did he go and grab a drink or some shit? Where did he go? Benji Nassim, he stepped away.
He had to get the gamer grip.
Is that what he's doing? Is he putting on a gamer grip or what's going on here?
He getting his stinky slippers?
Oh, there he is. He put his stinky slippies on. Got his stinky fucking slippers on. He's about to put the ball down. He's going to line it up. Benji Nassim, he's going to step up to the green, slippies on, and he's going to get ready to put this ball in a hole. He's going to let it rip. Jesus Christ. He ripped that shit in the hole. Ladies and gentlemen, Benji Nassim, bang! That's 18. Actually, it was 26 million channel points on Benji making that. 13.
I gotta start getting in cahoots with Ben for misses. I gotta start running like an inside putt ring.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Putt ring?
Yeah, I gotta start rigging this shit.
Ben, I love that you upped the lights so we can see the hole better. That was fantastic production.
What?
No problem. You know what I mean? Sorry.
What, brother?
You know what I mean? I don't know. You know what I mean. All right, guys, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, thank you guys so much for tuning in to today's episode of The Flank. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, go to anchor.fm/The Flank to check out all the audio sites that we're on. Go follow at The Flank. Gert's doing a phenomenal job running socials. Merchandise will be released Thursday at the event. So Zuma.gg. Get ready, guys. Limited items. We're not going to have a lot of stuff. We're getting everything in-house first. That way, when you guys do cop something, it goes directly to you. We ship it right to you. We don't need to wait for them to be produced. And we don't need to wait, have any problems. There won't be any problems or anything like that. We got everything in-house. So limited items. If you guys want something, get them while you can. Zuma.gg. Don't forget. All right? Go follow the socials. Love you guys, man. Take care. Brush your hair. We'll see you guys tomorrow. More matches. Take it easy. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode, man. Take it easy, guys. Good night, bye. Have a good one. Take it easy. Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
That's what I'm talking about.